You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you that the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, of course, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Barbara Cate. Good evening, Barbara. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Stan. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's really a pleasure to have you again. But please, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell them about your concerns.
Oh, my concerns. They are so vast at this point. I can tell you one thing, that if I wasn't a Christian, I don't know what people do who have no faith, who don't have any assurance of where they're going and what the end of the story is. I honestly don't know how those people function.
Well, all we can do is get the information out there and hope many times that people will turn to the Lord. You know, I was a physician practicing Santa Cruz where I live today, but I practiced here for many, many years. And there were very, very few of us who were Christians when I first came. And then as people would have their personal tragedies, maybe their wife would die, or maybe their wife would divorce them, or maybe one of their children would die. And at that point, they'd begin looking for answers, and they'd turn to the Lord. So that certainly by the time I left practice, why, we probably had about a dozen doctors who were Christians, and it was really wonderful to get together with them on a weekly basis under the direction of one of our local ministers and just talk about the Lord and the impact he had on our lives. And our hope is, Barbara, through what you do and what I do, at least we can point people towards the Lord in the difficult times that lie ahead. But why don't you tell us certainly a little bit about yourself and about the things that you are so concerned about.
Well, I am a legal analyst. I've been in the law for 30 years. I always felt, other than my faith, I always felt that our judicial system, our legal system, was the greatest in the world. I'm sorry to say today it is absolutely the most corrupt. It used to always be, as it was established by our founders, that there was a recourse. And the legal system, going into court, taking a dispute, you could have it decided either with a jury, a tribunal, a single judge. But I'm telling you today, the judicial and the legal system reflect the moral decadence and disintegration that exists in our country.
But, of course, this is because they took the God and prayer and out of our schools, the Ten Commandments out of our schools, because America was a Christian nation initially. It's no longer a Christian nation. And even though we have many people who profess Christianity, I mean, half of our Christian marriages end in divorce. And we have so many ministers actually out there who don't really believe in God. They don't believe in the Bible. They've been through seminary. But we had a fellow on the other day who actually was going to be a minister. He went to a Methodist seminary, and they destroyed his religious faith. And you can imagine what they do with the lawyers when they get into law school. And I know when I went to college, they destroyed my faith very, very efficiently. And I was just thinking how I used to argue about evolution, phylogeny recapitulates ontogeny. That's a wonderful phrase. And I'd always justify evolution by saying phylogeny recapitulates ontogeny. And I really believed all of these things until I returned to the Lord and realized that I'd been brainwashed in college. And this is what's happening. and you take away people's belief in God. There's little reason why we should be surprised. The progressive degradation of our legal system. We'll be back in just a moment with Barbara Kittay.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Barbara Kittay, and Barbara certainly works with a Christian legal organization. And, of course, she had written an essay about the corporate churches in America and how the corporate churches are really working in defiance of God's orders. In other words, basically, if a church is incorporated, it's incorporated under the state rather than under God. And, of course, Barbara then had written this article. It had gone all around the world. It was picked up in Europe. It was picked up in Russia. And people in Russia had put her in touch with about 30 Russian ministers administering to or working with Russian congregations here in the United States, and she's been working with them in the last year, to try to do away with their incorporation and bring the churches under the direction of God rather than under the direction of the state. Go right ahead, Barbara.
I was just at a conference on Tuesday all day with, in fact, it was in Okeechobee, and when I speak to pastors, I'm sorry, but I'm a no-nonsense person. I'm a bottom liner. I always open my speech with, if you guys had done your job, my country would not be in the condition it's in today. They're preaching the social gospel. They're not preaching the word of God. We're now going to encounter this. This is going to be another test. The pastors did not stand up when they removed the Bible. The pastors did not stand up and back George Roy Moore to keep the Ten Commandments from being removed. This was these, and on, I can give you case after case where if instead of 200 pastors protesting, if there had been 20,000 pastors protesting, number one, those cases would have been decided differently, and there would have been different outcomes in many situations where the Lord's authority and his word is actually in question.
Well, let me, Barbara, let me ask you a question. And one of the justifications that for actually having a church under 501c3 is that the donations to it are tax deductible. Now, that really should not be a major issue.
That is the major issue. They want that letter that they put in a frame with a glass on it from the IRS that says, yes, this church has been sanctified, certified, justified, all the other fives by the IRS.
Well, no, basically, IRS. If you are not a 501c3, I've heard that if you are a 501c4 or some other type of a corporation and it's a legitimate church, that the donations are still tax deductible. Is there any truth to that?
Of course. What does the First Amendment say? Congress shall make no law. No law. What part of no law don't these pastors understand? You see, they took it. They held out this carrot. Oh, we'll give you this letter, and there won't ever be any discussion about whether your tithes and offerings and missionary donations are tax deductible. There'll never be a question. There was never a question in the first place. This is America. Christians are here to stay. The Ten Commandments are the foundation for our legal system. And let me tell everybody something else. If Christians wanted a theocracy, we had the power to set that up in the beginning. That's not what America was supposed to be. But look at the founders. Look at the people that came here. They came here for one reason, to worship as they wanted to worship. America is the only country that's ever existed on this planet that was established and formed by Christians. God had his hand on this country. Look at America. No other country in the world has the resources. America could be autonomous. We could seal up the borders tomorrow and have every resource needed to function and to run a country. It all exists right here. It's all here. Why? Because God made the provision because he believed, well, he knew, he's omnipotent, omniscient, he knows everything. But the idea was that this would be a country that God had his hand on. But we've destroyed all that. That's the devil on the hook. The process of incorporating the Lord's church is a satanic operation. It's a dichotomy to what is supposed to happen to the Lord's church. He's over his church. People forget that the person that creates you, the thing that creates you is the one that controls you. And the incorporated church is created. It is born the moment that your articles of incorporation arrive at the Secretary of State's office. That's when the incorporated church is born. So I love my work. I've met some wonderful people. It has been my greatest honor in my life that the Lord entrusted me with this work, this small work on his behalf.
Well, now, basically, are some of the churches giving up their 501c3 and getting back to what they should be doing, preaching the gospel, rather than simply going along with what they're told?
So, yes, some. I have about 1,084 around the world that are true New Testament churches. But the problem, Dr. Stan, you see, when things are insidiously evil, there's always a hook. And the hook with the incorporated church is that the second item that you must agree to, first of all, you must accept all government policies. Number two, that corporation is created in perpetuity. If an incorporated church decides, and everything rises and falls on the pastor's heart, because he is the leader, he's the under-shepherd. If his heart decides that incorporation is wrong, he can't just dissolve that corporation, because the law says that should a 501c3 decide to dissolve, they must give all of their assets to another 501c3 corporation.
But yeah, I'm sure people, when they go into 501c3, have no idea of the implications of what they're doing.
They have no idea, and there are several famous lawyers, if I gave you their names, you would recognize them right away, who have lied to the pastors right through their teeth, barefaced lies, not even trying to disguise them. But you see, now in the seminary, they're teaching these young pastors the first thing they need to do is to come out and get incorporated. I encounter it every week of my life. So it's a fight.
Okay, then what can a church do if they want to get rid of their 501c3 status? I mean, how can they form a parallel organization? What do you have them doing?
I set them up under what is called a Declaration of Trust. This is a document from 1848. You can find it if you happen to have a set of Bouvier's encyclopedias. Bouvier's took the words from the time of our founders and put them in an encyclopedia so that we would know exactly what those words meant when the founders used it. And there was a document called the Declaration of Trust. It is not a trust like we think of a statutory trust that people are familiar with today, a charitable remainder trust or a living trust. It is not that kind of trust. It is not a legal or a statutory trust. It is a provision wherein property was held. The pastor becomes the trustee because that is scriptural. Everything within the declaration has a biblical reference. The pastor is the steward of God. That's in Titus. And so steward and trustee are basically synonymous words. So that declaration of trust was taken and established, and this is what I do with an incorporated church. Now, I'm making it sound very simple, but to give you an idea, in order to get there, to transfer the property and the bank accounts, personal and real property, it is a major undertaking it, and of course it has to be not only biblical, it has to be legal. So the ramifications are great. And in just to give you an idea, if it's an incorporated church wherein the pastor has decided that this is wrong, he must change this, you may be looking at 20 to 30 documents that I would have to do in order to affect this. And this covers many different subjects.
Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment about what Barbara's talking about, but basically, because if you are a 501c3 church, you can't speak out on political issues and basically things like Judge Roy Moore, the fact that they Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, they simply threw him out of office a group of the corrupt lawyers did that. Why?
Because
he posted the Ten Commandments on a little stool there in the foyer of the Supreme Court building. You have to understand there's a conspiracy against God, ladies and gentlemen. There really is.
Right.
That's why they took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools. That's why when we set up our ministry, we're not a 501c3. And it's amazing. People still support us. We'll be right back.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Barbara Kate, in addition to being concerned about 501c3 churches, was very, very concerned about, of course, the election of Barack Hussein Obama. And she had actually analyzed the voting patterns, and certainly she found out that there were certainly in areas in Pennsylvania and Ohio where there were more people voting in the precincts than there were actually registered voters. In some areas, there were more people voting than there were actually people there according to the census. In other words, there were more people voting than all the people that lived, even if they weren't registered as voters. She right. found out that all sorts of money was coming into Barack Hussein's campaign illegally, some of it from other countries, some of it from fraudulent credit cards. And she compiled a 3-page treatise on this. She sent it and had it personally hand-delivered to every congressman and every senator in the United States. That's about 536 or 535 people. And basically, she asked them if they would join her in just at least filing a petition to hold off the certification of the election of Barack Hussein Obama, because, of course, the voting was totally fraudulent that put him in office, because you remember what happened. Immediately after the election, there were a lot of people talking about the open fraud there were in many key states, and immediately the controlled media focused our attention on a scandal. That was General Petraeus and his mistress, and a four-star right. Marine general, and it was all engineered. They focus your attention on something. They do not allow the fraudulent nature of the election to be discussed. And so they'd known about General Petraeus's affair. In fact, why was the FBI investigating the director of the CIA and an extramarital affair he was having? Do they investigate every extramarital affair of the president, of Bill Clinton or Jack Kennedy, or of the senators? Bobby Kennedy had all sorts of extramarital affairs. No, this whole thing was just done so that they could detract our attention from the voting fraud. But the amazing thing was that when Barbara sent this around, and she sent it out the 1st of January, as I remember, why, of course, there was not one senator or one congressman who ever replied to her. Is that correct, Barbara?
Not one. And not only that, as I was saying, according to the code, the count is to occur on the 6th of January. Well, this year, the 6th of January was on Sunday. So according to normal federal guidelines, that meant that the count, the certification, would occur on the 8th when they reconvened, which was that Tuesday. We had them served on the 2nd and the 3rd, so we figured, okay, we had X number of days here to get with maybe Rubio or Michelle Bachmann or Rand Paul, or, you know, there were some others that we were going to call personally. Well, what did they do? They came in with a little executive order and moved the certification back to Friday, the 4th. Totally illegal.
Well, it's unfortunately, but of course, when you have a lawless country, why, they violate the laws. And where the spirit of the Lord is liberty, and the spirit of the Lord, I fear, has left America. It certainly left Washington, D.C., and they may talk about God, but they don't believe in God. If they did, they would not be violating our Constitution. They've all sworn an oath before God to protect the Constitution. Barack Hussein Obama doesn't believe in our Constitution. He doesn't believe in the Second Amendment. He doesn't believe, of course, that he is simply to execute the laws by Congress. He wants to be the dictator and direct all everything in this country, whether it's immigration, whether it's our foreign policy, certainly the things that are going on today. Why, of course, he wants to collect the guns from law-abiding citizens, because he wants all power in government. In fact, certainly we have a great deal of information that, of course, there was no rifle used at Sandy Hook. And if you doubt that, go up to your Google, type in your Google, ABC, YouTube, ABC, CBS, NBC, no rifle at Sandy Hook.
None.
No rifle at Sandy Hook. And basically, you'll see all three of the major networks coming up with articles saying, oh, there was no rifle used. The assault rifle was in the car, found in the car after the shooting. How could they all be wrong? Well, very simply, because they want to use that tragedy to justify picking up the weapons from the American people. And this is just the first step. They really want a dictatorship in America. But then, of course, this is what happens when a nation turns its back on God. Go right ahead, Barbara.
you know, this the gun issue, that they, I think they understand that they're not going to pull this one off. They have gone beyond. One of the greatest examples is the sheriff. For example, if you take Utah, every sheriff in the state of Utah, each sheriff from each county, they have all joined together and they've sent a notice to the government, you will not bring your illegal seizure of any guns or illegal laws into this state. We're working with Delaware. New Jersey is also doing the same. The sheriff...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. And Charles, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
You hear me now?
I can hear you fine. Can you hear me? I guess, Charles, if you can't hear me, well, you're going to have to call
in. Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, fine. Why don't you go right ahead then? I got Charles calling. Charles, do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, I got a question and maybe a comment.
Okay, well, let's get the question out.
Yeah, the question is, they got that 501c3. Okay, they have that. Okay, some kind of a deal with the government. Who's more corrupt, the churches going in with the 501c3 or the government
Charles, you have to understand that most of the ministers have never understood there was anything wrong with being 501c3. It's not right. That they're correct. It's just that they don't understand, and they certainly don't understand the financial implications, but even more that, the spiritual implications, and that's why Barbara Kitay's, of course, work is so important. Anything else?
Yeah, the couple things. I heard this week that they got, I don't know the numbers and how that all works, but it's like an HR thing that they run through the Congress or the Senate to pass a law. And so they got one, my friend gave me this hometown paper, and somebody told them that it wasn't so, and then they did the research and come to find out that the papers are filed, that they're trying to pass a law now to where Obama can be president again, and so we're going to get rid of the 8-year term limit.
Well, that has to be a Charles, that has to be an amendment to the Constitution. So he's never going to get that through. Anything else?
Never, never.
Yeah. The other thing was, you know, that basically these guys are running a show, and the people basically turned into sheep, it looks like. But there's a plot against this country, and it's in full bloom, and I can't believe everybody just keeps sleeping
well,
like
that's
this.
That's because they've never read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Have you read it, Charles?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
fine. Then you understand there really is a satanic conspiracy that has taken over both of our political parties and is using the financial and military power of this country to pursue Satan's goal, and that is of creating a one-world government ruled by the Antichrist. And there really is...
You know, another thing that we did, Doc?
What?
Was we bought your product, that oregano, and everybody's getting sick here in Michigan. They got this flu real bad.
Right.
We're not. It ain't touching us. That's a real good product.
Okay, well, that's why we carry it. Hey, I got to let you go because we got a board full. Thanks very much for calling, Charles. And I appreciate the boost for oregano. Basically, it comes in a product called Alibiotic. It's a oil of oregano, oil of elderberry. And, of course, it's the... garlic, but that's not the subject we're on right now. We have as our guest Barbara Kitay, and Barbara actually has cataloged all the problems with the election. The fraudulent voting, and basically it was fraudulent voting. There's no question there was fraudulent voting. And the fact that the churches are not up in arms, the fact that the media is not up in arms, the fact that Congress and the Senate are not up in arms, simply is a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Well, before we go on, Barbara, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, how they can get in touch with your ministry, how they can get that 3-page treatise that you wrote and that you actually sent to every congressman and every member of the Senate?
If they would like to email me, my email address is B, that's initial, B, KETAY at yahoo.com. It's BKETAY at yahoo.com. And if you just ask me, or I can give, if there's pastors, I only work, if there are churches listening, I only work with the pastor. I don't deal with the pastor's wife. I don't work with the deacons. I don't work with people from the congregation, because if the pastor's heart is not in this, you're not going anywhere. So if a pastor would like to get in touch with me, I would be my honor to speak with you, provide you with any information I could. I'm telling the pastors, if there are any listening to me, you've got one more chance, and this gun issue is your chance to stress this country was formed on the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Our unalienable rights come from God, not from any man-made government. And our rights include life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, when the founders wrote that, the pursuit of happiness meant to pursue, to learn, to obtain knowledge from the Word of God. that is what the pursuit of happiness meant when the founders wrote it. It has been distorted and changed now, but I'm telling you what it meant in the original document.
All right, so, well, my telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you're out there in the audience. Have a question or comment for our guest, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. So give us a call for Barbara. And basically, Barbara's on the front lines of this battle in many respects, but certainly she's been working for a long period of time trying to get churches and ministers to understand that they should be serving God and not the state. And once you, of course, take out that 501c3, you are restricted in what you can say about political issues, and you certainly could not get up and give a sermon criticizing Barack Obama, or certainly praising some Christian politician who should be elected. You're not allowed to participate in the voting or electoral process, or you can lose your 501c3 status, and I know ministries that have actually lost it. I do know, certainly, we've had a number of ministers listening to our programs, and several of them who've actually brought up the things we talk about here have been asked to leave their churches. Why? Because so many of our churches have agents in them, and those agents are there to make sure the minister never says anything that could possibly embarrass or counter the influence of the Brotherhood of Darkness, and they are there to get rid of ministers who try to do the right thing. Well, because all we can do is ask for God to protect our ministers, and I hope if you're in a church, you'll pray for your minister, but I hope your minister will have the courage to take a stand on this issue of 501c3. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY if you have a question. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And if you are a minister out there and you're trying to do the right thing and you're coming under pressure, let us know and we'll ask our listeners all across America, indeed all across the world, to pray for you. And I do believe God's certainly blessing has kept us going for almost 20 years now, and certainly I know another people doing what we're doing, and either had to back off, or sometimes they've certainly been infiltrated, their ministries have been infiltrated and undermined, and in one instance I know, they sent a SWAT team out to kill a fellow who is actually talking very much as we do. So basically, his name was William Cooper. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Barbara, you go right ahead. Certainly, Barbara has over 1,000 churches in this country and throughout the world who are trying to become biblical churches rather than government corporations. Is that correct?
Yes. Those are churches I've already worked with, and I get calls every week. I have a stopgap, I'm going to use that word, that I will only work with churches that agree with the 11 points of the New Testament church. And those come from a book called The Trail of Blood. And that is a famous book. So I can't work with, say, well, I don't want to go into who I can't work with. Can I digress here a moment, Dr.
Sure, you can digress all you want to. Go right ahead, Barbara.
I want to share with your listeners, we were talking about that the preponderance of the evidence is overwhelming that this country was established as a Christian nation. And perhaps your listeners are not familiar with this piece of evidence from history. When the first inauguration for George Washington was going to take place, he was not inaugurated in Washington. He was inaugurated in New York City. As a matter of fact, he stood at the very southwest corner of Ground Zero, is where President Lincoln was inaugurated. And there is a little church to the side of the main destroyed area at Ground Zero That church.
You know, I think for our listeners, Ground Zero is Ground Zero for the September 11th attack. Is that right?
Yes.
So
yes.
Basically, isn't it interesting that this is where, of course, they went with George Washington on the day of his inauguration, that very site where on September 11th of 2001, where the Twin Towers were destroyed. But go ahead.
And this is where, on that very ground, this is where George Washington dedicated this country to God. And as that God's face smile on America, the little church that exists just off of the site of Ground Zero, I'm blocking on the name of the church. I know it like I know my hand. Anyway, it in that church is the plaque that states that George Washington, after he was inaugurated, he took his entire cabinet and they prayed for over 3 hours in this little church, dedicating, asking for the blessings of God on this new country. And when Ground Zero, when 9/11 occurred, do you know that not one tile, not one window, now other buildings, you know, from the when the buildings fell, the big buildings fell down, other things all around that area, windows broke, doors blew out, roofs collapsed, not one window was broken in this little chapel where George Washington took his cabinet and asked for God's blessing on this country. And when I tell you that God is not mocked, it is so vivid, it's just like Belshazzar's writing on the wall. It is very evident. And if people who think they're going to destroy this country without the wrath of God dropping down on them, you are the dumbest people that ever lived. He has protected this country. I beg that he gives us another chance. He will not give us another chance unless this country repents. And so will it happen? I don't know. I'm certainly not a prophet. I never purported to be. But I do believe every word that is in the Bible. If I always say, if it's not in the Bible, it ain't, as far as I'm concerned. But I thought this is such a... To me, when I found out this piece of history, I just was almost speechless. You see, it didn't just start 40 years ago. It goes all the way back. People like to say that the founding fathers were not Christians. That is an unmitigated lie. They like to say that they were deists. That is not true. That is not true. I have read and studied, I know the history of all 56 of them, all of the signers. I know what happened to them. I know what happened to the people who signed the Declaration of Independence. It is, when you get into it, I am a constitutional scholar. I've made it my business to understand who these people were that had such great wisdom and such fabulous vision. This didn't come on their own. They were endowed with this wisdom.
And I so think, I think it's really so interesting that certainly there, this little church, everything around Ground Zero was just decimated, except for this church. And really, why was that? Well, of course, this is where, as Barbara said, George Washington went after he was inaugurated, and he took the people there. Now, does God really interfere in the affairs of men? Certainly God interferes in the affairs of men. Did God let 9/11 happen? Absolutely. Do you think if he'd wanted to stop it, he would have? Of course he could have. He can do whatever he wants to. We don't realize, of course, his power and how helpless we are. But I think we see his influence in America every day. And I think we see what happens when God begins to withdraw his protection from a nation, as this nation has intentionally and purposely repudiated God. The responsibility lies with our churches that are not speaking out. We are the vast majority of the people here, and yet 50% of our Christian marriages end in divorce. What does that tell you about how viable Christianity is in America and the impact it's having on people's lives? Barbara,
we have 55 million dead babies since 1973. The blood of those babies is on this country. The most vulnerable, who should be in the most protected place they will ever reside in their mother's womb, has now become a death chamber. 55 million babies and growing every day. Someone, and I'm afraid it will be the pastors, who did not protest, who did not come to the defense of the most defenseless.
No, and we'll never see Barack Hussein Obama weeping over those children. He'll weep over the children and Sandy Hook, because he wants to use that incident to take the guns away from the American people. But Barack Hussein Obama and so many members of our Congress and certainly members of the Senate would never weep over those children that have been murdered.
Ever.
And when the Republicans control both the Senate and the House and the presidency, what did they do? They never once, any time they could have passed legislation and put an exclusion contract in it for the Supreme Court, saying the Supreme Court can't reverse this, they could have saved the lives of all future children, at least turn the responsibility to the state.
Right.
And Republicans have been infiltrated. They did nothing.
Nope, nothing.
You already know that calcium is important. But did you know that calcium cannot be absorbed without magnesium? That's a fact. And the calcium that isn't absorbed calcifies your soft muscle tissues. Haven't you ever wondered what's really causing all your muscle aches? I'm Pat Sullivan, the founder of Jigsaw Health. I created Jigsaw Magnesium with SRT to solve my own magnesium deficiency problems. You see, magnesium helps people feel younger because magnesium keeps the soft tissues from calcifying. This helps you sleep better at night and feel more energized during the day. Call 888-352-5050 and we'll explain why Jigsaw Magnesium with sustained release technology is so much better than any drugstore magnesium supplement. Mention this radio ad and receive $5 off your order. 888-352-5050. JigsawMagnesium.com.
What has happened to the judicial system in these United States? From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we've seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. The judicial system was designed to ensure that the laws of the land were just and constrained by our Constitution. Now judges have immunity and cannot be prosecuted when they act outside the law. This must stop. The judicial branch needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. At that website, you can find out what's really going on in this area of lawlessness, and more importantly, you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. JudicialReformNow.com. JudicialReformNow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, Call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for prostate support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye. Okay, that was Barbara Cattay. And basically, what can one person do? Well, Barbara's introducing in almost all of the states, on her own, with the help of a few people, legislation that would basically reaffirm the 10th Amendment and say to the federal government, you have no right coming in here with what you're doing. And certainly, basically, that would be as far as the gun laws are concerned, as far as education, as far as health. What we need to do, of course, is try to defuse the dictatorial power from Washington, D.C., and they'll say, oh, if you pass legislation like that, we'll cut off all your federal funds. That's not their money, ladies and gentlemen. What we need to do is cut off the money from them. They use our money to enslave us. It's time we took America back, and Barbara's doing a great job. Her name is Barbara Cattay. K-E-T-A-Y, K-E-T-A-Y, go up on the internet, go to Google or whatever your search engine is, look her up, and if you have time, help her. She's doing a great job. She is a courageous woman. And now this is the time when, of course, I need to remind our listeners across America that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help, we hope you'll join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, or maybe advertise with us, or maybe, of course, you'll simply get some of the items that we have. One of them, of course, you can get a case of my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and certainly you're paying less than, I think, $2.40 for every copy. You have to get 64 copies, but we give you a free CD, four CD set, or DVD that we produced to help defray the costs. And then, of course, we hope that you'll want to get my talk on Agenda 21, the COVID agenda, because it's the best overview of what's going on today. If you want to hear about how we brought Fidel Castro to power, knowing he was a communist, intentionally installed him in Cuba, knowing he was a communist, you need to get my talk, World Revolution. You'll see my interview with Ambassador Smith, Earl Smith, a billionaire who was the American ambassador to Cuba at the time of the revolution, and he will tell you. He knew Fidel Castro was a communist. The president knew, the State Department knew, the CIA knew, and they installed Fidel Castro. He didn't win the revolution. He didn't win any battles. The Cuban people didn't want him. We installed Fidel as the dictator over there, just exactly as we're installing dictators throughout the world today, as we install Mr. Morsi over there in Egypt, and certainly we're installing dictators in nation after nation after nation. Suddenly we installed Netanyahu over there. He was a member of the CFR. He's the Prime Minister of Israel today. Oh, he pretends he's not following our dictates. He's simply a surrogate. He's doing what he's told, but they're not going to let you know. Did you know that Fidel Castro comes up to visit David Rockefeller, and that David Rockefeller's daughters go down regularly contact and visit with Fidel Castro? If you don't know that, it's because they control the media. But you can get David Rockefeller's memoirs, which we carry. And, of course, it's David Rockefeller's memoirs. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope many of you out there will want to get Barry Goldwater's book with no apologies. Now, admittedly, they're used copies. But if you read from page 277 to the end of the chapter, you'll understand everything Barry Goldwater told you. The Trilateral Commission intends to take over political control of the United States. He wrote that in 1979. They do control this. Where do you think John Kerry, who's the new Secretary of State, came from? Trilateral Commission. What about the woman who was suggested for Secretary of State before that, Susan Wright? Trilateral Commission. There's only 87 members, and some of them are Canadians and Mexicans. But, of course, they're the people who control both political parties. And through their connections, they control the media, the banks, the major corporations, the military. And they've infiltrated our churches. They're very clever, they're very subtle, and they're very evil. Look at their logo, ladies and gentlemen. Go to trilateral.org. www.trilateral.org. Look at their logo. If you look closely, there's three curved sixes. pardon me, three curved arrows, but you can almost see on the inside the sixes. But the, no question, they're joined together at the center by an upside-down broken cross. This is an occult organization dedicated to world government, and they control our nation today. Pray for America, but remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. And then please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection. Next hour, Jonathan Gray.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and hopefully, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Jonathan Gray, who's over in New Zealand, and we asked him to come on. Certainly, I've followed Jonathan for many years. We've had him as a guest many times, but of course, Jonathan is certainly traveled and visited all the spots that Ron Wyatt wrote about. And if you haven't followed Ron Wyatt, we've got a wonderful four-tape set of my interviews with Ron Wyatt and other people who had gone to the places that he had gone. And, of course, they'd found, of course, where Noah's Ark was. They'd found where the real crossing of the Red Sea was. They found the real Mount Sinai. Certainly, they had found, and Ron Wyatt claims, and I believe he's telling the truth, he'd found the Ark of the Covenant. And I talked to him about it, and, of course, some of the information they put out, I believe, of course, has been done intentionally, because the last thing they would want would be for the Arabs to know where the Ark of the Covenant is, because they'd destroy it. By so destroying it, they think that, of course, they're going to be able to thwart God's plan to rebuild the temple there on Temple Square. But, of course, be that as it may, that's another story for another time. I asked Jonathan to come and be with us tonight because I'd read something he wrote recently about preparing for the difficult times that lie ahead. Now, Jonathan is written extensively about archaeology and certainly what's happened in past centuries and certainly since the beginning of time and how certainly into certain times in the past why God has intervened and societies have been destroyed. And Gracie talks about the Great Flood and how certainly Noah survived the Great Flood, but because God told him it was coming and Noah was prepared with the ark and with the animals, with the food. And then, of course, Jonathan, certainly, when he, of course, was living in Egypt and had a dream that there were going to be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. And because Jonathan made preparations for the difficult time with the support of the Pharaoh of Egypt, why, of course, Egypt survived 10 years of terrible drought. And, of course, certainly Jonathan Gray's concept is we should be preparing because difficult times are coming. Jonathan, thank you very much for being with us this evening.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be with you, Stan, and may the Lord be with you too.
Well, certainly, Jonathan's over there in New Zealand, but he certainly writes, certainly, from the point of view of everybody here in this country. And of course, he's wrote this treatise back in 2009, talking about the fact we're moving into difficult times. And there's certainly everything in that book. It's about 215 pages, which I pulled down off the internet and have read through. points to the fact that the same problems are here. In fact, I think they're getting much closer. I think there are going to be some major cataclysmic changes coming, and whether it's a matter of days or weeks or months or years, I don't know. But I've been at this for over 50 years, and I can tell you, I think it's going to be a lot less than many years. I think it's going to be here, certainly within my lifetime. And anyway, certainly we're talking about cataclysmic times and the necessity of beginning to make preparations. So, Jonathan, you pick up the story. People don't want to hear me talk. They want your analysis of what's going on and what they should be doing.
Well, Dr. Stan, it certainly is important to be aware today, because we've never been living in more dangerous times than we are right now. But that shouldn't frighten us, because we have a God in heaven who's conversant with everything that's happening. He cares about every single individual, and he's made it available, the knowledge that every one of us can survive, and both physical and spiritual survival is possible and available.
And I think the important thing to realize, of course, is that we should make all of the logical preparations. But in the final analysis, if we don't have a personal relationship with our Lord, none of us are going to get through the terrible times that lie ahead. We'll be back in just a moment with Jonathan Gray. Jonathan, go right ahead.
Yes, Stan. Well, you like to ask me the questions, and we'll keep going if you like.
Well, basically, what do you think is going to happen? What is going to precipitate this crisis that's coming down the line? Well, suddenly there's so many things that could happen. There could be an EMP attack. There could be a nuclear attack. There could be great, certainly, droughts. There could be weather changes. There certainly could be typhoons and hurricanes. There are a myriad of things. Certainly, a comet could strike America. There are a myriad of things. What do you think it's going to be? Or do you have any concept or thoughts on what is going to precipitate this crisis?
Well, I really don't know. I don't think any of us know for sure what will be the specific trigger that will ultimate the greatest crisis. But we know that it can be one of a large number of scenarios. Our water supplies are drying up. Natural disasters are up more than 400%. Billions of bees are dying around the world. Which are responsible for a large part of fertilizing or pollinating a large part of our world's food supply. Trees are dying, which produce oxygen. And, of course, there's wars, there's biotechnology. There are new biodiseases which are being released. There's radioactivity, which is becoming very, very dangerous, especially in the Northern Hemisphere. There could be one single man-made disaster, or it could be an ecological disaster that strikes. It could even be an earthquake or something like that. But whatever it is, there are ways of making it safer for ourselves and for our family, and places to be and places not to be. And I think that's important to sort of be aware of, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly is. And basically, of course, one of the big problems would be the major cities. And as you point out in your treatise, people need to begin thinking about this. And if there's a major catastrophe in a major city, there's not going to be food, there's not going to be water, and you're going to have total chaos.
Oh, yes. And, of course, this is where the economy could, a collapsed economy could take place. And that could bring down the electric grid system. It could bring down any ability to escape, because once you try to fill up your car with gas, you go to the service station, no electricity to turn it on, no electric power to put you through the supermarket checkout. And I have seen these things happen on a small scale just for a few hours, and boy, they cause chaos right through a community. And the bigger the community, the more dangerous it is.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Jonathan is simply listing all the various things that so many things could happen. There could be a major agricultural crisis. There could the bees are dying all across the world. We can't pollinate plants and certainly our crops in many areas are failing. Our trees are dying. There's so many things that could precipitate a crisis. Certainly, the financial system here in the United States and throughout the world is unsustainable. The economy of the whole world is contracting at this time. They're lying to you. The fact we've never gotten out of the recession and depression, the only thing that keeps us going is simply pouring more and more money in. Down the line, it's going to be destructive. But whatever it will be, whether it'll be a man-made disaster, perhaps a biochemical attack or an atomic attack or an EMP attack, whether it be an act of God, or sunspots can actually create an electromagnetic pulse that would wipe out our grid. There are a million things that could happen. But Jonathan feels, as I do, that something big is imminent. What is going to happen, we don't know. But people should begin making preparations. And as he points out, in the major cities, when you turn off the electricity for a few hours, you have chaos. You turn it off for months at a time, why the whole structure of society breaks down. Go right ahead, Jonathan.
Well, we will find that very soon the trouble is going to start in the big cities. This is the place not to be. We have friends, we have relatives, we are warning them. They have jobs, they have schooling. They have their roots, they've got married, they have their children, and a lot of them are not listening. Some are listening, and we praise God for their alertness. And we have loved ones who are not listening. I guess they think that it's been so comfortable all these years that it can't just happen to them. And it's going to happen to somebody else in some other city, but not where they are.
All right, fine. Well, then what things should people start doing? And, Chris, basically, I read of this 209-page treatise that Jonathan had written on survival, and this is so different than most of the things he's written, because most of them really deal, of course, with archaeology and the history of unfolding events down to the centuries, to the millennium. But this is simply aimed at urging people to begin making preparations, and although Jonathan stresses the importance of a relationship with the Lord, he thinks that we should be making other arrangements, and he has all sorts of great ideas. I was really amazed at some of the things that he had to suggest, so why don't you go ahead and just talk about what people really need to do with these preparations they should start making for survival if these unthinkable things come to pass. And I don't really think they're unthinkable. I think that it's a matter of they're coming. In fact, I personally believe that God is going to utilize whatever happens to bring vengeance upon America, because America has turned against God. And when a nation turns against God, God withdraws his protection. Go right ahead.
Yes, I'm often asked more recently now, Dr. Stan, what should we do specifically? Should I invest in cash? I'd say the answer is yes in the short term. But think globally with your money. If you live in the United States, you should consider legally getting some of your money outside the country. I talk about that in my book, of course, and that the strategy can get a bit complicated, but it may be prudent for those with a large enough net worth to spend the time and money doing this. But for the average individual, I think this would not be necessary. But it wouldn't hurt to keep some money in other currencies, in havens like the Canadian dollar, the Singapore dollar, the Hong Kong dollar. That's only talking about money. But the question comes up, should we invest in real estate? No, definitely not. That's the wrong answer. Commercial real estate or domestic real estate. In a depression, when things collapse, buyers just go away. It's not going to be much help in helping you to survive. Should we invest in commercial bonds? The short answer is no. And understand that in a crash, I do expect we're going to have a financial crash. We also know that that's predicted in the book of Revelation, chapter 18. There is coming a great financial crash in which the merchants of the earth will be weeping because no one can afford Nothing's going anymore.
Because that is, of course, when Babylon is destroyed, and that Babylon, of course, is destroyed, and the merchants of the world weep because, of course, there's no longer a vehicle, a means by which they can buy or sell. And, of course, when they talk about the Babylon, they talk about the financial center of the world. And where is the financial center of the world today? Well, I think it's New York City. What are your thoughts?
Oh, yes, it definitely is New York City. And Wall Street in particular. And that brings us to stocks. And should we speculate in stocks? No. The definite answer, the short answer is no. And for example, back then in 2000, 2001, 2008, countless stocks fell. And many people were wiped out. I know of people who have actually taken their own lives because they couldn't face the consequences. That's a very sad thing. When they didn't need, they could still be alive today. Should I invest in commodities such as crude oil? Once again, the answer is no. Collectibles, no. Should I buy gold and silver? Well, the short answer is yes. The long answer I'd like to give is that physical holdings of gold and silver will be the ultimate safe haven currencies. And compared to anything else that the world is able to offer in a physical sense. And taking physical possession of gold and silver bullion coins and bars is essential in any crisis if we have money, put it into gold and silver. Now, history has clearly shown that those who held the physical metals during times of economic turmoil fared much better than those who didn't. But the one thing that is important is to make sure that you own the gold and the silver coins of the country you live in. Now, if you live in Canada, make sure you own the Canadian gold and silver maple leaf. If you're in the United States, then own the gold and silver eagles. Now, other countries have their own special minting. Silver will be more negotiable because a smaller value is attached to it. It's really harder to get rid of larger amounts. Bars are cheaper to buy than coins, but coins will be highly recognizable and more useful for purchasing or bartering for items when the crunch comes. So what I'd suggest is if you can afford only a small amount of metals, then you should own some silver coins anyway. Now, it's interesting. We go back to the book of Genesis. Right through history, when all else failed, the one medium of exchange that was always accepted was precious metals, gold and silver. Now, maybe, Dr. Stan, it would be helpful just to mention how the Bible points this out to us.
Please do. That's why we wanted you here, because, of course, I talk about these things all the time, but I'm not a theologian. Please go right ahead. I think it's important people understand that we have to go to the scriptures really to understand how we would protect ourselves. Go right ahead.
Okay. From the very earliest times, as shown in Genesis, the world's oldest written record, and that's another subject, the value of gold and silver have been recognized. Now, the first time gold is mentioned is in Genesis chapter 2, where a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and then it parted, became into four heads. And it said here that it mentions the land of Hevelah, and it says the gold of that land is good. So the one thing that stands out about that land was its gold. Then we have Abraham, or Abram, as he was first called, in Genesis 13. And it says that he was very rich in cattle, and in silver, and in gold. And Genesis 20, I've given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Genesis 23, my Lord, hearken to me, the land is worth 400 shekels of silver. And so Abraham listened and he weighed the silver and 400 shekels of silver, current money with the merchant. That's interesting. Then we come down to chapter 24. You'll notice I'm going through the book of Genesis here. It came to pass, as the camel had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel of weight and two bracelets for her hands, 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in my father's house for us to lodge in? So payment was made there in gold. Then we come down to chapter 24, verse 35. And the Lord blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold. And chapter 24, verse 53, a servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold, and gave them to Rebekah, and he gave him her, he gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. We come down to chapter 37. There passed by the Midianite merchants, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Down in Egypt, Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand. This is when Joseph, from his being sold as a slave and then being thrown into prison and later interpreting the Pharaoh's dream, Pharaoh honored him and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. Later, when Joseph became prime minister, and his brothers at first did not recognize him as they came down to Egypt to buy what Egypt was really reeling in, food and essentials, because Joseph had for several years been preparing Egypt to be the granary of the world. The brothers came down, and Joseph did his little trick to get to know his brothers, or get them to come back to him. And put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money. And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. Behold, the money which was found in our sack's mouths, we brought it again to thee out of the land of Canaan. How then shall we steal out of thy lord's house silver or gold?
And I think it's just so important, if you read the scriptures, you find that gold and silver has been used since the inception of civilization and biblical times. We'll be back in just a moment. Jonathan, you go right ahead.
Good, Dr. Stan. Well, we've just been going through the book of Genesis, and of course there's more there too, but we don't need to. Did you notice that gold and silver were accepted as money even thousands of years ago?
Yes, and I think that's what's so important, that people have to learn the lessons of the past to understand what we should be doing today.
Yes, and this has never ceased. So if we are wise and with the lessons of history behind us, it's good to start adjusting to the probable realities of a depression or even hyperinflation. Now, by switching anything we can spare into gold and silver-related assets. Now, I think what people don't understand is if they're not in gold and silver-related assets, they stand to lose between, shall I say, 60 to 95% of their wealth, just as people did in the 1930s. We have history to show that. But this time it's shaping up to be several times worse. Now, even if silver and gold never went 1 cent higher than their price today, you'd still be a winner because gold and silver hold their value when anything else fails. Now, I don't believe they're going to stay frozen. I believe gold and silver will move a lot higher. And the stock bubble and the housing bubble that we had just about less than 5 years ago were both based on greed. And the coming precious metals bubble will be based on panic. Greed's bad, but you can't begin to compare that to widespread panic. And if you have something like that, you are sitting in a very comfortable position relating to other people around you. But there's something else that I think is better than paper money, and it's a financial, and in a financial meltdown, it's even more valuable than silver and gold, Dr. Stan. And that is food. Survival food. I believe that's the ultimate barter weapon, because the time will come when the shops close, when the electricity grid fails, and trucks can't travel in to bring food, people can't travel out, and we'll talk about that later, but survival food will be a weapon that everyone will find much more precious than anything else they can use. So that when you want something, you haven't got it, everyone will want food. And once again, the book of Genesis says a lot about that. It's interesting that when money fails, a barter system kicks into operation, and we have a precedent from the time of Joseph again. In Genesis 47, I'd just like to go through this here. Genesis 47, starting at verse 13, goes right down to about verse 17. It records that there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. So it was becoming worse even in Egypt. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought, and Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. And when the money failed, yes, it eventually failed, when the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, "Give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence, for the money is failed?" And Joseph said, "Give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle food if money fail." And they brought their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses and for flocks and for the cattle of the herd.
Hold that thought.
And he fed them with bread for all their cattle. So that was a barter system.
Hold that thought, and we'll be back in just a moment. Because Jonathan is saying that certainly gold and silver are fine, great investments at all. And basically, of course, when the other things begin falling apart ordinarily, gold and silver certainly will increase tremendously in value because of the panic of people, and what we would expect would be panic of people. But of course, there's another thing even more valuable, and that is, of course, when the food supply fails, why people will do anything for food. And he simply goes back to the Bible and the story of what happened in Egypt during the 7 years of famine, and certainly the people of the money there eventually failed. And basically the people came to Jonathan and they said, "Give us food, you know." And he said, "Well, give me your cattle." So the people gave their cattle to Jonathan, anything for food. And so basically, why, of course, all this was accumulated. Jonathan accumulated for the Pharaoh. And as the 7 years began to draw to a close, why, of course, Pharaoh had all the gold and silver, he had the cattle, and he still had the food supplies, and the people were totally subservient because he had food. People said that could never happen in America. Well, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we have some very, very strange droughts taking place in the central part of America today, and it's not just in America. It's selectively throughout the world, and in many areas it's in the grain-producing regions. Jonathan, pick up the story, please.
Thank you. Okay, and they eventually survived, as we see in Joseph's day, without money. But I'd like to just underline something very important, Dr. Stan. A person will not be able to buy his way out of the meltdown if he waits too long with paper money. Anyone who holds onto paper money thinking that that's his security is going to be bitterly disappointed and devastated. In a panic, survival food is the ultimate currency. It not only satisfies appetites, of course, but with it you can buy anything else you need. People always need to eat, no matter what else is true. And so having plenty of stored food that you can trade or barter will put you in the best possible position to survive and prosper in the coming bad times, which they're coming, for sure. Okay, well, the question does arise then, well, what kind of prepared food and other commodities will be worth the most? Well, maybe I could give a list as I see it that I believe is well tested. And
I think that's a great idea. I enjoyed your book. You did a great job on this book, and we'll tell the people later how to get hold of it. But just go ahead put out the people are, what are they thinking about? What should they be getting? What should they be putting aside? What will sustain them during the difficult times? Should they come? Go ahead.
Okay. Canned or bottled food grown on gardens or private farms where the food is grown in a healthy manner. Vegetables and fruits that have not been sprayed with pesticides. I'd have to mention that. Canned foods bought in stores. Dried foods. Now, I know people who are slowly building up their stocks of such things. Dried food, and these make great barter items. Pastas of all types, they seem to last a long time, and they'll be high on the list of desired items. May I mention dried beans? This is one of my wife's favourites, but beans are a protein powerhouse. You can never go wrong by having them as a barter item. been. I could mention the humble peanut butter. And if you can make your own, so much the better. In a disaster, peanut butter is going to come off the shelves so fast it'll make your head spin. And so we should know how to make peanut butter. Buy 50 pounds of peanuts, just in case. Powdered milk. Now, this is another staple that has proven to have tremendous barter value. May I mention perhaps Carnation brand? Do you have it over there in the States?
Well, no, Carnation brand?
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Could I suggest to go to your local farm or feed store and buy 25, perhaps 50 pounds of milk replacement that they have actually for calves? Good for humans. Now, it's not the greatest thing, but it's extremely nutritional. And no one's ever going to be thinking about hoarding that. Then vitamin supplements. Plenty of non-synthetic vitamins can be stored as barter items. Now, disease spreads like wildfire in panics and famine. And people with healthy immune systems will have a much better chance of surviving to help others. But best of all, homegrown food from your own garden. Don't forget that. So investment in gold and silver can be smart, but what use are they if you're dying? So investing in your health and in the health of others can really be a lot smarter, I think.
Now, because we do have some treatises on health and certainly the vitamins that you really need to have on hand. Lay in a good supply of them. They'll last for a good long while, and you can use them up later, but have them on hand because they will sustain your immune system.
While a storm cloud gathers far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free.
Jonathan, you go right ahead.
Okay, then, good. You know, I think it's a good time to wake up now and believe that life as we have known it in the past is virtually over. Different times are coming now. And we'll have to learn that we can get by on just, well, I can think of four basic physical things. Shelter, food, clothing, and water, and including for a bath, whatever. There'll be virtually no credit available. That kind of party will be over. We've all used credit. You've used it in the States. We've used it here. The Western world has absolutely saturated itself in credit, and we've been spoiled. We're going to have to start thinking simply and living simply, because many of us are going to lose our homes if we're not getting ready. And a well-known scientist stated not so long back, "I write this to frighten you. I'm a frightened man. All the scientists I know are frightened. Frightened for their lives and frightened for your life." Now, these are men who know what's about to happen. So what can we do? Well, is it right for me to mention that the controlled media is not informing us? They are informing us of lies, that what they're saying may stop us being prepared, and virtually all mainstream media, if you take what they say, you won't be ready. Millions of unsuspecting citizens are going to get caught flat-footed. And anyone who's waiting to hear that big D word, depression, from economic experts, or shall we say from talking heads and TV anchors before taking action, will most likely regret the fact that they didn't make a move earlier. But there's no need to panic. We need to be ready. That's all I say. And if we're ready, there'll never be a panic. Okay? Now, I know that some of my friends, if they heard me, would say, well, none of this can happen to me. And maybe we don't need to prepare, they'll say. Maybe you believe that you can reshuffle a few resources and weather it out, but you don't really believe any of this stuff, do you? Well, I do believe it, Dr. Stan. If anyone can only come up with none of this can happen, then they might as well not listen anymore. But if it makes sense, then I would suggest that every person needs to act calmly and decisively, get the things you need, protect what's yours,
And hold that thought for just a moment. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Jonathan is saying that most people really don't believe that these disastrous things that he's discussing can happen. Well, I can tell you, I believe it can happen. That's why I asked Jonathan to come on with me. But certainly, as he points out, he recognizes the fact that the media is controlled, and it's not going to tell you the truth. And as a result, most people are not making the preparations that should be made. We can't influence that at all. We're going to have to certainly help many of these people who could have done something and didn't. But as Christians, we have that obligation to help our neighbors. But our first obligation is to help ourselves to be prepared, both financially and certainly materially, but most of all spiritually. Our telephone numbers, well, we're not going to give the telephone number out just now, but I wanted, Jonathan, if you would tell our listeners how they can get your material, how they can get to your website, how they can get the fascinating information you offer, and how they could possibly get this treatise you wrote about in 2009, talking about a survival during the difficult times that lay ahead. And Jonathan makes the point, and I agree with it, that the world we have known is not coming back again. Certainly, it's not going to be a matter of time before things improve, but certainly things are going to get progressively worse, maybe up and down, but there is no recovery, and there will be no recovery for a good long while. Jonathan, how can people get in touch with you, get your material on archaeology, and get your material on survival?
Well, Dr. Stan, my website, the main page is beforeus.com. That's www.beforeus.com, beforeus.com. Now, on that main page, if you just scroll down to the bottom of the page, on the right-hand side, there is a link which says Other Products, and that brings up a new page, and among those lists, there's one which says Will You Survive? That's lower down on the page, and clicking on there gives access to how to order the book itself. We also have other resources there, too, that can be helpful.
All right, fine. And because Jonathan sends out a newsletter every week, and it's always fascinating about what usually has to do with archaeology and some of the great societies of the past that have simply just disappeared. What happened to the Mayan civilization? Nobody knows. What happened to the Inca civilization? Nobody knows. And there have been civilizations throughout the world that were there with tremendously advanced civilizations. We have no idea how they were able to do what they did and build the buildings that they did and use the advanced engineering techniques that even would confound our engineers today. And yet they did it literally thousands of years ago. And I will tell you that Jonathan's letters are always intriguing, and he has great, great information. And we have actually interviews with him before when we talk about his efforts to explore, following the paths of Ron Wyatt, and going certainly to into Saudi Arabia there, looking at the original Mount Sinai and the Red Sea crossing, and certainly the Noah's Ark. All of these things, fascinating stories. I recommend them to you. It certainly opens up a whole new vista and makes the Bible come alive. Well, right today we're talking about survival and the things that Jonathan's written about the things that you should be getting to lay in. And certainly the beans, you can get lima beans and you can get kidney beans and you can get white beans and you can get brown beans. And he has them all listed there in this treatise. All sorts of fascinating information. Please go right ahead.
Yes, in relation to the newsletter, Dr. Stan, that's totally free. The way to enroll in that is just to scroll down a short distance from the top, and there's a squarish box in which you just insert your first name and your email address, and everything happens from there every week.
Okay. Let's go ahead now. We were talking about survival. You're talking about the importance of food, and you certainly listed some of the things that people should be laying in so they can provide for their family. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the stores are going to be empty. There's going to be chaos. People desperate for food. And of course, this is what happens when a society breaks down. People say it could never happen in America. Well, I will tell you, you certainly just read the stories that we have from the people who study the danger of an EMP attack. But this is simply one of just a number of various catastrophes that could strike our nation. I mean, we saw what happened certainly after Hurricane Sandy. But imagine, of course, that there was no way to repair. And imagine there was no way for supplies to come in from outside. And imagine there was no way to restore the electric circuitry, the grid upon which our whole advanced civilization rests. But go right ahead.
Well, yes. I think it's important to look at what to store and how to store it. We could go to the Book of Proverbs where we are told, go to the ant, thou sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. I've noticed this week over here in New Zealand that the ants are starting to come out in the big masses now. They're getting ready. They're getting ready for some rain coming. And when we see the ants doing this, we know that they're getting ready. And they'll be prepared, and they'll be able to sit it out. So it's wonderful to watch the little ant and see what it does. And anyway, how do we prepare ourselves? Okay. Our ancestors were very, very wise and full of common sense. They generally had cellars where they had food canned, and then that could last them well over a year. And that ensured that they'd be able to plant a crop the next summer and still be able to survive waiting for crops to mature and harvest. Now, I know the media won't touch this with a 10-foot pole, but the time of easily accessible food at cheap prices may soon be over. Prices worldwide are rising. We have droughts and famines and floods, which are decimating crops in countries that often or mostly supply the food for the rest of the world. And I'm thinking of Australia, just across the ditch from us over here. Australia has been on fire for the last month. It's been burning. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of wildfires. Thousands of houses burnt down. And lo and behold, over the top of that, there come great floods. And thousands of people are standing on the roofs of their houses because the water's creeping up the walls of their houses. And they're waiting for rescue from outside.
And I think that's amazing because we're not hearing about this in America. And certainly I'm on the Internet, certainly is starting at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I haven't heard. I heard a little bit a few weeks ago about some fires in Australia, but I hadn't heard the degree of the catastrophe there and then about the floods and the things that are happening. So basically, so many things are happening throughout the world. But remember, the media's control. They focus our attention on the things they want us to think about and distract our attention from things that would help us to understand the terrible times lie ahead. Go right ahead.
Yes. So the point I had in mind was that countries like Australia are food exporters. America has for many years been a food exporter. I do believe that these times are coming to an end. We're going to be having to look after ourselves wherever we are. And at the time of the first depression, 60% of the population of America, we're talking largely to Americans, aren't we, today, 60% of the population of America lived off the land. Today that's less than 5%. More Americans are now living in the cities, and this is a pretty consistent pattern in other countries as well. So 5% are growing all the food for the other 95%. That's a lot more serious than it was during the 1929 depression when 60% grew food for the whole lot. Now, at the sign of an impending disaster, you can be sure that grocery shops in major cities will be empty in an hour. So it's best to plan ahead by putting together a supply of items to store for a good long time, freeze-dried foods in canned goods, vacuum-packed food, and so on.
Jonathan, my producer asked if you'd just move the telephone just a little way away from your mouth. We're just getting a little feedback. Just try moving it away, just maybe about an inch. Go ahead.
Okay, how does that sound now?
That sounds really much better, but go ahead.
Okay, thanks for mentioning that. And don't forget toiletries and other essentials, as well as prescription medicines if you need them. Now, if you do not have 6 months to a year's food in reserve, then if you can't afford it, then it's best to sell something or do whatever you can to immediately get yourself and your loved ones to safety on that score. Or better still, if you could store 2 years' supply at this time and do this as soon as possible. And learn to prepare and enjoy simple food. Learn to survive without doctors, without lawyers, without police, without government handouts and interference. And if you're like most folks, you haven't prepared yet, let alone perhaps even know that you should be. All right, now, I have had this objection from some Christian people. They say, isn't stocking up food hoarding? And doesn't this cause a shortage and increase the price? And therefore, we don't do much. We just have, say, only 2 litres of Diet Coke, a half-eaten Italian sub and a frozen burrito. That's about all we store, what we haven't been able to eat in our meal. Well, I should say this, that everyone should store enough genetically modified free.
Unmodified, genetically unmodified.
Unmodified,
go,
yes.
Go ahead.
Non-genetically modified seed and food to last at least a year or until you can grow and harvest your own seeds from scratch. And in any case, while you mightn't even have land, the seeds will still hold value during a food emergency and you can still use them to barter. So learning how to grow a garden, even if you have to use 5-gallon buckets, it's still a good move. Now, a man argued a few months ago to me saying that, look, preparing anything's foolishness. It shows a lack of faith. Shouldn't one just trust in God? And there are others who scorn the idea of preparing anything as though it's a form of paranoia. And there are others who ask serious questions about how can we do this in a realistic way. Okay. Now, many do sense that the greatest need for preparation is spiritual, and you and I totally agree on that. The greatest need is spiritual, not physical. But give me the man who's prepared all the food and water and shelter he needs and who loses heart, and I'll give you a dead man. Give me a man with nothing physical prepared who keeps faith with God, the Creator, and I'll give you a survivor. But it may be helpful to recognize that there are two phases to what's coming ahead. If I read the scripture right, there's going to be a not buying and selling at first for a certain group of people who are faithful to God. And as the crunch gets harder, that's going to switch to a capital punishment decree. Now, you may think that's totally impossible in a free country like we have now, but don't be too sure. Once things become unnatural, the buying and selling situation. Now, today there are countries that stop other countries from buying and selling on the world market. And I was talking to a member of parliament here some time back, and after about half an hour, I asked him a question. I said, why is it that you can't do what the New Zealand voters ask you to do when you have election promises and in the end you don't fulfil them? He said, well, if we did fulfil them, we would not be allowed to buy and sell on the world market. He said, there are people outside our country who are starting to run the world. And he said, they're telling us the policies we have to follow. And I believe this is becoming a worldwide phenomenon. Now, this means that there are going to be two phases worldwide. Firstly, the scripture tells us, Revelation 13 tells us that there is one stage that you cannot buy or sell unless you do what you are told by those that want you to do what they are going to enforce against God's law. And if you stand up, you will be boycotted. You will be, what do they call it, sanctions against you. Later on, this will degenerate. When things get worse and the whole world starts collapsing, it will become a life or death matter. And these two times of trouble, a little one, we might say, and then a greater one. For the ultimate time of trouble, the greater one, don't store supplies. You won't be able to. When your life's in danger from a growing tyranny, you'll need to withdraw into some wilderness area where you can't depend on stuff that you've stored. But at this time, meanwhile, you can claim the prophetic promise that if your life is in harmony with God, your bread and water will be sure. And I remember what David said in the Psalms. He said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not known the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And what we find in the book of Proverbs, if we cooperate with God, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So initially, there's going to be a time of trouble we can weather by storing. Later, greatly later, when it becomes worse, your bread and water will be sure, but you will have to run for your life in many countries. And I think that warning should be put in the back of our minds so that we're ready when that time comes.
And I think
the Lord will guide us.
And I think that's absolutely true. And as my wife simply reminded us, exactly what you had said, Noah prepared for the difficult times that would come with a flood. Jonathan prepared for the difficult times that would come with a great famine in Egypt. And we should prepare. I really think we should prepare now, realizing, of course, the most important part is our personal relationship with the Lord. But we would be foolish not to make the preparations, not only for ourselves, but for our families and for our friends. Those people who really don't think it could happen, and they're going to be dependent upon us to help them through this difficult time.
Yes, and you mentioned the flood. Noah was told to take in food. He took in at least a year's supply of food storage, and very likely more. Genesis said, take you of all food that is eaten, and gather it. It shall be food for thee and for them, that's those who are on the flood with, in the ark with him. Thus did Noah, according to what God commanded him, that he did. So Noah did prepare. He got his food supply together. And as we know, Joseph did as well. Now, one thing that I'd like to bring out here is that your food preparation is not just for you. It's for others who didn't have faith to prepare. And if your faith is in God, he can make edible manna appear before the dew. If your faith is in that kind of God who can divide some fish and loaves and feed thousands, then you, with that kind of faith, have the advantage. And quite honestly, if you don't know this, and God is so wonderful, and you don't know it, and he doesn't feed you, then you and everyone I know will not make it through the great period. But Jesus has said that those who prepare will be able to help others. And I think this is a wonderful blessing.
I think it really is true. And that was incidentally Joseph in Africa, not Jonathan. Joseph, of course, was working for the Pharaoh, preparing Egypt for the terrible time of famine that was to come. Our guest has been Jonathan Gray, and we do hope you've enjoyed the program. Well, Jonathan, you have 3 minutes to wrap up the program for tonight, then we'll let you go.
Okay, Sam, that's fine. Well, what I'd like to say in closing is that let's not underestimate the power of sprouts and seeds. We were given seeds in the beginning. Genesis 1:29 lists them as our first food. And you know, I'm told by nutritionists that sprouted seeds, when the two little leaves start to sprout, and you can sprout them in a tiny can on your shelf inside the kitchen, has up to 300% more power than ordinary sprouts, than ordinary food. Sprouted food is at peak as far as energy goes. And I know a farmer in Australia who survived several years of drought in a little garage, as small that you could put your car in it and fill it up, and he got layers of shelving, and he had a hose dripping water through all these layers of seeds, and he fed his whole cow population for several years on nothing else when there was no grass, just on sprouts, a handful of sprouts per cow, and they survived right through the year.
Well, I think these are all things that we have to think about, we have to learn about, and this is the time to learn, not certainly when the crisis is upon us. And I really think your syllabus is excellent. It has so much great information in it.
Well, we certainly can still prepare ourselves. It's not too late. And what I would recommend is that anyone who is living in a big city should seriously consider now making plans to pick out a country place where there's water, water supply is essential, and where they can start thinking that their family can relocate. And if it means they have to, well, leave their job, hopefully they can get a job in the country, but if not, they can live anyway. They can feed themselves, and they will be able to survive.
Well, I think we're entering some difficult times. I appreciate so much you being with us, and hope we can get you back on again one of these days and talk about some of your treatises on archaeology. Anyway, God bless. Thanks very much for being with us this evening.
Pleasure, Dr. Stan. God bless you.
Yeah, and you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices,
well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope you enjoyed the program this evening with Jonathan Gray, certainly one of my favorite guests, and this is not what he usually talks about. If you'd like to know certainly about the Ark of the Covenant, if you'd like to know about where Mount Sinai really is, and of course, when you go to Israel, they never show you the real Mount Sinai or the Red Sea crossing. We have a four-tape set of my interviews with Ron Wyatt, who's long since dead, and one of his disciples on where is the Ark of the Covenant. Where is the Ark of the Covenant? And, of course, we think it's very important. Certainly, Jonathan was saying that one of the things you should think about is learning to sprout. And, of course, if you would like to learn more about that, we'll be having our program, certainly, with Buck Keeley, who is certainly supports us, but Buck talks about growing and having a seed bank and having all the things that you need to prepare yourself so you can feed yourself and your family. And one of the things he stresses is sprouting. And so you'll certainly want to be listening when we have him gone again, and we're going to put together a four-tape set of my interviews with Buck Keeley to prepare you for the learning to grow food, something most of us don't know. After all, doesn't food come from a grocery store? Well, it does now, but what happens when the grocery store shelves are bare? We're moving into a very, I believe, a difficult time. Jonathan does as well. And I think anybody who's studied what's going on knows that terrible events lie ahead. We have a new four CD set. It's called EMP Attack. We have an excellent DVD, the talk that Ambassador Henry Cooper gave at the October 21st conference, Radio Liberty Conference. It's called The Threat of an EMP Attack. We recommend it, and if you get that or you get the CD and you request it, we'll be glad to send along a treatise, a 12-page treatise from the Heritage Foundation on the danger of an EMP attack, done by two PhDs who've studied this. We have the book. It's entitled A Nation Forsaken by Michael Maloof. And Michael was the senior policy advisor in the Defense Department who reported directly to the Undersecretary of State. He was there for Undersecretary of Defense. He was there for 30 years. And now he's a writer, a staff writer for WorldNet Daily. We've interviewed Michael on several occasions. We recommend his book, A Nation Forsaken. And then, of course, we have the 2004 Congressional Commission report on the danger of EMP attack. You can get it on the Internet, but we actually have it. It's all nicely bound. We want you to get this information. You have our permission to copy anything we produced and get it out as a warning to people. This is not an imaginary threat. It's a very real threat. And what really is so disturbing to me is, despite the fact they realize that if we were to have major EMP attacks on America, and Iran has already practiced for this, as has Russia and China and Venezuela and Pakistan, if we were to have an attack on America, within 6 to 9 months, as many as 90% of our population could be dead. Those are the words of the PhDs who studied this. Those are the words of Ambassador Henry Cooper. This is what you will read if you study this. we're talking about the worst catastrophe that could strike America. And you don't ever hear about this. You can go up on the internet and read some of this, but we have information you need to get. And I'm not saying this is what we're going to have. But the question is, when we have a threat of this magnitude and Congress has voted to remedy it and nothing has been done, then we have to ask ourselves, why? Is it possible that God is going to use this to bring his judgment on our nation? I don't really think that the elite who run America want to see this country destroyed. They certainly want us to lower our standards of living. They want to control us. They want to take away our weapons. But they want to use the financial and military power of the United States to consolidate the world. Why aren't they doing what's logical? And is it that they are spiritually blinded by powerful spiritual forces that even they don't understand? Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And please certainly pray for America. Pray for revival. But please pray for our ministry of Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
Ooh, a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is straight up top of the hour, 7 a.m. Central Time. You're in the right place. It is January 31st, 2013. Made it through the first month. Amazing news today. Have you heard the commercial on television regarding, are you having trouble following your hip implant? Whoa, wait till you find out what that's all about. New news from the United Nations, and basically it's a edict from the United Nations to Israel regarding the West Bank. Kind of surprising to see it, and kind of glad also. And Syria, you got it yesterday, didn't you? Israel did it. Started opening fire on Syria. They're just called airstrikes in Lebanon and Syria. We need to talk about the new war with Israel and Syria.